Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Carulla and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Everybody, that's a fucking rooster.
You know what? We did it at the same time. Did we're in sync. That means we're in sync.
Is it?
Yeah. How are you?
I'm good.
I just saw you earlier today.
Yeah, you bought me birthday pizza.
That's right. Hey, who doesn't like birthday pizza?
I don't know.
And how was the rest of your afternoon? Did you pick up your boy from school?
I picked up my boy from school.
Was he a happy camper?
He was. And then we played, we did homework, which is fun, learning to add again. Because you don't do that anymore when you're an adult.
Does he get it faster than daddy?
Sometimes.
You're like, damn it.
Sometimes
you're like,
better
you're
than
both
me.
Sitting there like, carry
he's
the
like, wow,
what?
4 + 5 = 9? I didn't even think about that.
Do you teach him any tricks?
No.
There's always tricks with, like, you know, multiple.
Well, he's not doing multiple. He's only in first grade. He's not doing multiplication.
All right. Come so on. You, what do you tell him? To count the fingers?
Yeah. I still count fingers.
That's a good technique. But I do too. And I'm always playing with numbers.
Then we played the Lego movie game on PlayStation.
How was that? Is that fun?
Yeah.
Is it like the movie?
Yeah.
What do you do? What's the objective?
Do you actually just go through the movie?
I haven't seen the movie, so
you haven't seen the Lego movie?
I know I need to.
What's wrong with
it's
you?
It's on my Netflix. It's on my Netflix.
Oh my God.
You know what I'm actually watching right now?
What?
Well, I haven't started the third one, but I finished the first two, the Godfather trilogy.
You never saw that?
I just saw the third one.
Why have you never seen
Dude,
the Godfather?
There's certain... God damn it!
What the hell is wrong with you?
Well, you know what? There's a couple classic movies that I haven't seen, and that was one of them.
What else have you not seen?
I haven't seen Taxi Driver.
What is wrong
I know,
with you?
And I love movies, so I'm.
No,
going
you don't.
Back.
You no, obviously
really
do not love movies.
I really
movies.
Do. I haven't.
You
seen,
do not love movies.
I haven't seen The Deer Hunter.
You do not love movies.
I do though, because I was.
When
watching,
did you
like,
start watching movies? The 90s.
When I was, no. When I started watching like a lot of movies in the 80s, like when I was a kid. But I was
what
watching
movies.
Like, Karate Kid, Back to the Future, Spaceballs. I mean, I love those are my classics. That's my jam. So I'm going back.
You've
and
never
watching
seen The Godfather.
I know. I know.
Scarface? Have you seen Scarface?
Scarface I've seen. I've seen that a lot, actually. I've seen... What other movies? What are some classic movies?
My mind is so blown. You've never seen...
I know. The Deer Hunter is 4 hours. So it's kind of like, I know I need to do that, but it's like, God, that's going to be a long movie. Have you ever seen... Okay, so like I watch a lot of biopics, too. Have you ever seen Che? That's a four-hour saga.
No, I'm not going to watch a movie that's 4 hours long.
It's so long. Well, The Deer Hunter's 4 hours long.
If it's got Christopher Walken in it.
Yeah, that's true. And young Christopher Walken, right? Where he's just like really trying to make
They're playing the Russian roulette scene?
I haven't seen that.
Oh, God. I can't even talk to you. I cannot even talk to you.
Well, let me ask you this.
What?
I don't think I've ever asked you this. What's like your favorite of classic movies?
I can't pick a favorite movie.
You know what? Everybody's told me the third Godfather sucks. Like, nobody likes the third Godfather. And the first two are so good. You know what I mean? Our guest is ready to
chime in. Just bring Maranzo in. He needs to
You know what?
Just
He's
talk.
Been on before, so he gets special privileges.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, Maranzo Vance.
Oh, my God. I can't believe I'm sitting
He's
on
like
the,
writhing in pain. I'm, he wants I'm, to talk so
I'm,
bad.
I'm angry. I want to take the microphone and beat the shit out of him.
Exactly.
Like,
but, hey, you know what? I'd rather see it when I can appreciate it. And I so appreciate it.
I saw it as a kid, and I'm
no,
like,
no, first of all, you don't appreciate Godfather
But I do,
3.
I do.
You don't. You know why?
That's what I've heard.
Because no one did. It was a money
that's
opportunity.
What everybody said.
It was a money-making thing.
Yeah.
Joey Zaza?
Yeah.
What is this? Andy Garcia? What the hell is this cast?
I got to say, Godfather 2 was incredible.
The best sequel of anything ever made.
Yeah, that and Empire Strikes Back are the
two best sequels of all time.
Yeah.
Damn.
And you know what?
Until we see... Oh, no. And Winter Soldier.
I've never seen.
Oh yeah.
Captain America.
I've seen Captain America.
Which, the second one.
Yeah,
Winter Soldier.
The second one's good.
The best.
See, I don't know what is Winter Soldier. I just do know it's 1 and 2.
Captain, you
know?
1 and 2?
Yeah.
Okay. That is the best Marvel movie they've ever made.
Well, have you seen Ant-Man? That was pretty good.
Captain America. Winter Soldier is the best.
It's a great movie.
Not a plot hole.
And you know what the cool thing
all.
Is about that? That's one of my favorite comic book characters.
I don't like Captain America. Though.
Really? But I'm waiting for Silver Surfer.
Best
to come
movie?
Out with a badass
it's not
going to
happen.
That's not ever
going to
happen.
I know. Why?
Did you see what Fox did with Fantastic Four again?
Yeah, it's.
Yes.
They own Silver Surfer. They're not.
I heard the new Fantastic Four was terrible.
It is.
It's garbage.
Dude, I heard the director said, yeah, don't go see it. This movie
sucks. Because it's garbage.
It is.
God.
He tweeted, like, the vision I had for the movie is not what Fox wanted me to do. So you got a movie that Fox told me to put together.
First of all, you cast Dr. Reed Richards as like an 18-year-old kid. What
the fuck out of here, dude. That was the... I'm so angry.
So
I'm a nerd. I'm a comic book fan.
Right,
so
right, me too.
When I see what they've done, it doesn't make sense that Fox can't get it right.
Yeah.
Or at least allow Marvel to buy the rights back from the movie.
Like they're doing with Spider-Man.
Yes!
Yeah.
Give Sony can't get it right.
Give the Fantastic Four to Marvel and
please.
Let them put
and
them into
the
universe.
Right.
Yeah.
And on top of that, Fantastic Four alone is not a good story.
No.
They're not interesting enough. Dr. Doom is a campy...
Yeah, well, the whole series is campy.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a stretchy guy, a guy that's on fire, rock.
You got Plastic Man.
But see, together, they're like a band. Like, each one of them is, like, good,
you could
but together, they're pretty bad.
You could interject them into Infinity Wars, and it'd be
a
decent thing.
It's a
thing.
Good band, but you don't want to hear the whole album.
That's true. Yeah. That's very
you don't
want
true.
To hear the whole album. Well, what do you think of the new Spider-Mans? I don't think
terrible.
They're that great.
Terrible.
Yeah, I think they suck.
Spider-Man 2... Not this last one.
You
but
mean the Tobey Maguire one?
Spider-Man 2 is a great comic.
That was good.
That was good.
That was decent.
Dr. Octopus,
that was
a good comic.
That
was it.
Good. Good casting,
Alfred
too.
Molina?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was
great.
A good comic. Up until they start, Marvel started rebooting, like doing their cinematic universe, that was probably...
They rebooted Spider-Man. This is a third reboot for Spider-Man. Third.
Well, at least they're not doing an origin story this time.
You don't know that.
Well, they said they weren't.
They got to.
What do you guys think about Batman versus Superman?
I don't want to see
crap.
It.
Yeah, I think it looks like it could be decent.
No,
but it looks
not.
Zack Snyder, I'm over.
Probably snap.
I'm over him. I'm over Bryan Singer. Bryan Singer cannot complete a trilogy. He cannot. He did.
Well, X-Men wasn't bad.
Oh!
The X-Men, the third
hold
one. You
whoa,
know
whoa, whoa! The first version of it. The first version of it.
Yeah, yeah.
He did the first two movies.
Those were good.
And
I liked the first
and
one.
And then he let Brett Ratner direct the last one, which was...
Well, because Singer went to do Superman Returns.
Yeah, he
but that
was a good
was,
idea.
And screwed
that
one up.
That was bad.
Everybody. Okay.
Yeah.
Matthew Vaughn, who directed X-Men First Class.
That was great.
Director.
That's a great movie.
Flawless movie.
That's a great
Even
movie.
Even though they couldn't use Cyclops.
Yeah. Well, they had like a lot of characters in weird places, and a lot of he's just
a lot of rights. And stuff
it wasn't that it was okay. I
what
could,
do you think
I,
of the Wolverine saga, like the separate Wolverine thing?
Wolverine is
first
not,
X-Men Origin Wolverine, terrible,
terrible movie.
The other one
the,
wasn't
the,
bad.
The one that just came out. Here's the thing about Wolverine:
the one where he goes to Japan.
Yeah, that wasn't
Wolverine
bad.
Was okay. Is only as you're, here's the thing for every hero: you're only as good as your villain.
Yeah, that's
you're
true.
You're only as good as your villain.
Your nemesis.
And Wolverine does not have a definitive villain.
Yeah.
He's a mercenary for hire.
It could be worse, though. It could be Punisher. I mean, that movie was bad.
But they're
going to
reboot it. They're going to do a better job.
I hope.
They're introducing him into Daredevil.
Yeah. Netflix. Going to do it. Did you see
I heard the TV show is amazing.
The Netflix show? Daredevil?
Yeah. I heard it's amazing.
A million times better than the movie.
Okay.
A million times better.
But they're going to have Punisher. I heard, is Doctor Strange going to make an appearance in Daredevil, too?
Yeah.
Dude,
it's gonna
this
be great.
Comic Con over here.
Oh, dude!
Oh, I love.
No, it's all the good stuff. I mean, that's I love all that.
They're doing the Dr. Strange.
I was surprised
movie.
With Ant-Man. To be honest, I didn't.
It
think
was
that
great.
Movie, I didn't think that movie was going to be good.
Way better.
It was
than,
way better than I thought.
Way better than both Thor movies.
Yes.
It was better than the first Captain America movie. Better
last
than
two
Iron
Man
2.
2 and 3.
Oh my god!
Oh,
I'll let 3
was
slide.
Terrible. Oh,
I'll
man.
Let it slide. But 2 was. Horrible.
Yeah, two
whiplash.
Two was
3 was just unnecessary.
3.
There's just no point to make.
1 was so good. Though.
Here's the thing,
I
though.
1 was good.
One
Robert
was great.
Downey Jr. Iron Man is the villain of the Marvel Universe. If you think about it, he is the villain of the Marvel Universe. Everything that happens is because his ego gets in the way.
Yeah.
He creates something. He causes something to happen. He is the villain, so to speak, in Ultron.
Right.
Avengers 2, by the way, was terrible.
Yeah.
Avengers 2 was hot garbage.
I wish.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
Oh. Apparently.
The first one, though, I loved. I actually great. Loved the first one.
Apparently, it's supposed to be about 20 minutes longer.
It better not be.
Yeah, I don't
you
know if
picked
that
would
have saved
a movie. City that no one cared about and hovered it over the earth like. It's a third world country. Yeah. Like, all right, drop it. We don't even know. We can't even pronounce it.
But I just got the feeling that they just wanted to make Avengers 2 so they could get to Infinity Wars. Like, it was just like, let's just get this out of the way so we can move on.
The Easter egg at the end of Avengers 2. They could have just done that.
Yeah.
And we would have been fine.
Yeah.
Let me just handle this myself. Bam. Yeah. And then we'd be like, oh, yeah. Thanos.
They just did that to get 2 out of the way because they knew they had to make 2.
Thor 2 was terrible.
Thor 2 was
the
bad.
Dark World.
Yeah.
No one was invested
was,
in any of the.
Was
you didn't.
Cheesy.
For one, if you're not a Thor fan, you don't care about that villain in the movie. It's really not a lot of information on the villain out there for you to read about to say, right. Oh.
And also, it's Thor, so it's a different world. Yes. So it's kind of hard to be invested in something that's a completely different world.
Oh, God. No one cares. You swing a hammer. No one cares about. No one cares about Thor.
But I think out of all of those, I think the Hulk reboots are pretty bad.
No!
Ang Lee's version,
no,
is so bad.
The one Edward Norton did.
That one's good.
It was great.
No, I'm talking Eric Bana.
Oh God,
that was bad.
It was great up until the end, and the Abomination fight. And it's like, first of all, the Abomination is stronger than the Hulk.
Yeah.
I'm really trying to rationalize like this is real. but it's like you got to beat up the whole movie, and then all of a sudden you're like, Hulk smash. And then who arrested this guy? You just like the Hulk just got up and left, like, all right, y'all figure out like, what to do with this lizard. I'm out.
Gong that shit.
Yeah.
Come on. So what's a comic book character that you'd like to see like
a
on
movie?
The big screen? Yeah.
I think they should reboot Spawn.
Oh, that'd be
Spawn would be great good. To reboot. Great character. The origin of it is good.
I'm secretly I know this is not really a comic book character, but I'm secretly waiting for the Voltron movie. That was my favorite cartoon as a kid.
I think the window is gone.
Oh, come on.
I don't think
I heard they were starting it.
It's a lot of movies where the window is gone.
But dude, they would make so much on that merchandise and the story is so
they've preaching. Cocked up G.I. Joe and they've cocked up Ninja Turtles.
Michael Bay has destroyed my childhood.
And Transformers.
Yeah, that's pretty much true.
They keep making Transformer movies keep getting worse.
Yes.
And they keep making more money.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's the
sad
part.
That's the problem.
Yeah. Well, that's because all the kids want to see the new Transformers movie.
Did you see the fourth one? Yeah. The Extinction?
Yeah.
Like,
that was bad.
The only reason I watched it because Netflix said, look what piece of shit we picked up. We'll show it to you. And I was like,
terrible.
It was so bad.
Are you serious?
It's just like such
the
a
Dinobot? Like, yeah. How did you introduce a Dinobot?
And they shot the whole thing in China because it was all international. That's the only reason they made that movie is because they could sell it overseas.
Yes!
That's why everything was shot in China.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Wow.
Because it wouldn't have sold here.
Well, the problem, you know what the problem is? It's like suits think that they can be artists.
They can't. That's why you wear a suit.
But you know what? I understand, too. Like, sometimes they are really smart about pulling the director back and pulling the reins and kind of keeping him on track so that the movie does what it needs to do from the business side. But the hard part is when suits get involved, and it happens in music.
They're making
too.
Another Transformers movie.
Yeah, this is what I'm talking about. They're running out of ideas.
They probably run out of it.
They're rebooting reboots of reboots.
Yeah, yeah. And there's no...
How about we reboot Hollywood?
Yeah,
I'd love good.
That. Well, just reboot
That's the whole point of this show is
Hollywood.
To showcase some artists that,
please
that matter.
Reboot Hollywood.
We're working on it. Maranzio, it's been over a year since I've seen you.
Yeah.
How have you been?
Man, I'm sick. Same old.
I like your shirt like butter.
I'm sick of life.
You're sick of life?
Yeah.
Come on. Why?
Yeah.
Let's
tired,
talk
dude.
About it.
I'm tired.
You're getting old.
I'm 39.
Okay, I feel you.
And everybody's like, oh, you're 39. And everybody wants to tell you something positive, like, you should be happy you made it to 39. And I'm not that type of person.
You're no.
I'm like, how much time do I have left? I'm calculating how much money I need to make it to the end. That's it. How much money do I need to make to be able to make it to the end of this shit show?
I don't know how. You get boy, like even if you stop at like 65, you still got like maybe another 15, 20
even
years.
Even if you work a job and retire, you still got a budget of money to live off. First of all, here's the funny part. You work a job for 30 years that you barely made enough to survive, right? 30 years you work a job, you barely make ends meet the entire time you're working there. Then you retire and they say, we're going to pay you whatever
they pay you.
Yeah, 60% of what you made.
Oh, made. Or whatever. And say, you're supposed to live off this for the rest of your life? How am I supposed to live off money that you give me? Even when I was working for it, I still couldn't survive. How to explain
that? Well, because probably would need less. You probably wouldn't need a car when you're 85. Do you think you'd still
be driving? You should. Everybody should retire at 85 when you don't need anything. Because at 65, you still need.
That's true.
You still do shit. And you want to enjoy yourself.
Yeah,
you would think. Some after working all that time.
That's true. It's a good point. These are all good points.
And then you think about this. Life.
Let's just reboot
life
the whole system.
Stinks.
No, come on. No,
stop it.
Why?
Stop
why? It. Tell us. Stop talk it. To us, Maranzio.
Eddie agrees. He just doesn't want to chime in.
No, I absolutely agree.
It's come on.
Life.
What would your kids say?
They would say, Dad's right, and I'm sorry.
He's like, I'm going to play Lego games some more.
Crashed into your life.
Well, that's, you know, you just got to tap into that. Do you play video games?
Yes. I just went and bought Madden before I came.
See, that's good. Those are good things.
Did Madden come out today?
Yeah, it came out last night at midnight.
Were you one of those guys that stood in line?
I don't stand in line for shit. The last thing I stood in line for was The Dark Knight in 2008, and that's because I love fucking Batman.
Wait, did you just say you love fucking Batman?
I love Batman. Batman and Spider-Man have the best villains in the DC and Marvel universe. Yeah, everybody else, you don't even like Superman. Superman doesn't have good villains. You can't sympathize.
Well, Lex Luthor is a pretty good villain.
He could kill him at any moment.
Yeah,
he
that's
just
true.
Don't.
That's true.
He can't match up with him.
Mentally, smart-wise.
Smarter, yeah.
Intelligence, he can't. But physically, he could just pick him up and like throw him into the sun.
That's true.
We're done.
That's true.
Why are we still doing this? The same thing with Batman and the Joker. You could have killed him a long time ago. Keep letting this freak out. Locking him up before he can get out. That crazy chick dressing up like him. A Harley Quinn to help
Harley
him out.
Quinn.
Anyway, life stinks.
Well, let's get to look. What have you been doing? I've been seeing posts about you tour. You did some touring.
I did a little bit of touring.
Who'd you tour with?
Tour with Daniel Tosh.
That's amazing, dude.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're like, yeah.
I've been doing comedy. I'm 39. I've been doing comedy since I was 15, dude. And it's like I've gotten to the point where
you don't want to open for somebody.
Not even that. That's not the case. It's just because, like I was telling Eddie, the money working with Tosh is better than the money that I make on my own. I think I'm at the point now where you do something for so long.
Yeah.
It's like, what else is there?
Well, let me ask you this. Do you still enjoy doing comedy?
No.
Well, come on. You've got to love it a little bit. What, so you're just good at it, and that's what I need to do?
It's all I know how to do. It's like going to, this is how it is. The same thing for women in relationships. I chose a movie to go see. I sat in it. I started liking it. It got kind of crummy. I said to myself, I'm going to stick it out, see where it's going. Ooh, I like something now. I'll stick around. And then you get halfway through the movie, and you're like, this is not what I thought it was. But I can't go see anything else because all the other movies already started. Because that's what life is.
Wait.
Everything.
Some of the most successful people in the world started their careers after 40.
Who? Yeah.
You still got time.
Vera Wang.
Who?
I mean, I have to Google it. I can't think of it right now.
The only person I can think of right now is Vera Wang.
No, there's a ton.
I believe it, but they made clothes. We're in the entertainment business, and people look.
But there's actors that didn't make their break till their 40s.
Yeah, but
40s.
You gotta work. That's forever.
That's hardly the case. The business now is so skewed towards young. Like even in it used to be with acting and music, it was ageism. But now ageism is creeping to comedy.
Yeah.
And now it's like you have to be 22 to 25, or people won't look at you as a comedian anymore.
They don't care.
That's so dumb because like comedians that are that
young, you don't have shit to say at 22.
You're not good until you get older.
Yeah, that's true.
The business doesn't look at you that way.
You were really intense with the way you looked when you said
that. I'm hotter than fish grease when I talk about it because Eddie gets it.
Yeah, I know.
Eddie gets it.
I know.
And it's disgusting because now it's like here's the problem with LA anyway. It's too many free comedy shows.
Yeah.
And people don't value comedy. No one values anything when it's free.
It's true.
No one. No one values anything when it's free. If you went somewhere and ate free every day, the first week you would probably say, thank you for this free meal. But after that, you'd be like,
what else you got?
It's free.
Right.
You've been doing it. I got to ask for it. That's what comedy is now. Free comedy shows. Vine, you can get your 7 seconds of laughter. Instagram, you get your 15 seconds of laughter. YouTube, you get your 3 minutes of laughter. The attention span is smaller. The quality is worse.
Well, one thing I've noticed too, it's just like with Eddie being our co-host and bringing in other comedians, is like how hard it is for you guys. Like, you guys get sometimes 5 minutes to do something where you...
Oh, I'm not doing that.
Dude, I mean, that, but that's just,
a showcase.
It's
like,
ridiculous.
You showcase,
that
like,
stuff is
like, I don't do late bullshit. Night anymore. I don't do late night anymore because the headache that you have to go through to put together...
Oh, there's so many hoops you got
to
jump
through. A late night
through.
Set. Like, for me to do Fallon,
right.
It would take a year for them to critique my set, approve it, and then me perform it. By the time they approve it for me to do it, I hate those jokes. It's true. By the time you get approved to do the show, you're like, I hate every one of these jokes. But you have to perform them as if you've never done them before.
Right.
But they won't even look at you to put you on late night unless you got, you know, 500,000 followers.
They want famous people to do late night, which is dumb because the whole purpose of late night used to be to introduce
new comics. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but now it's like if you don't have a sitcom on the air or you're not packing arenas out,
they don't want to put you on TV.
They don't put you on TV, but it's
like, it's not even like it's also like the people that are getting those opportunities sometimes, it's like, it's whack.
It is.
Like, I see like a comedian, I don't remember his name, maybe it was Pete Holmes. Was that the guy that was on right before Conan?
Yep. No, he came on after.
He came on after Conan.
He was so bad. I mean, it was just like I mean, it was like who like greenlighted this thing? You know what I mean? It's like it's who you know sometimes, but that's just, you know, the way it is. But I think entertainment is it's definitely the people that are out there fighting for are the ones that really love it and they do it because they're good at it. But I think there's opportunities. There are opportunities drying up, but there's still opportunities. You know what I mean?
I mean, here's the problem. Social media makes everything old fast.
Yeah. Yep.
Everything old. Because if something's trending at 8 o'clock, by 3 o'clock, you're like, oh, yeah, I'm over that. Yeah. It has been trending since 8.
Right.
I'm over it. It's the attention span is smaller than a gnat.
Yep.
You remember back in the day, an artist could put an album out and live off of that one album for like 2 years.
Yeah.
Like, and now I have to put another album out for the year three. Now it's like you put the album out now, you better have another album ready to go by January or people will forget you.
Yep. And it's about also staying relevant to what is hip, and what's hip now in 6 months is not hip. It's just
comedy stinks now. You can't name 10 comics right now that you'll be like,
yeah, but 30 of them have Netflix specials.
First of all, they need to stop calling comedy specials specials. Because a special used to mean that only a select few could get it.
Right, right.
And they came around every few years.
Yeah. Nothing special now if everybody can do it.
Right.
Everybody's doing it, and everybody's doing it every year.
That's not special.
That's not.
There's comics younger than me that have like 3 one-hour specials.
And you're like, seriously?
But here's my thing. If you're a comic, let's be honest. If you're a comic, you write an hour. You want to put together an hour. It takes you a year to put together an hour.
Right.
I mean, a good hour. Anybody can put. You can put together an hour in a month. It's going to be hot ass. But you got an hour of material. It's not good, but it's an hour of material. But to have a quality Carlin-esque.
He took 2 years to do an
hour. Patrice O'Neill-ish, Chris Rock-ish, Seinfeld-ish hour. Right. It takes a year to write it. A year to perfect it and tour with it. And then you film it.
That's
Chris Rock does his
special. That's what Carlin did.
Every 5 years.
Carlin would write for a year.
Yeah.
And perform for a year. And then tape an HBO special.
Yeah. It was a three-year process.
That's because he's awesome.
It was like George Lucas with the first 3 Star Wars movies. It was a 3-year gap between all the movies. That's what your comedy should be. Because you have to go out and do things.
Right.
You have to experience things. You have to go through stuff. Unless you're Chris Rock is kind of a topical comic. But he makes it a little evergreen. Almost. But
he's really fluid. Like, I did Bonnaroo with him, and he was one of the headliners for the comedy. He wasn't even in the tent. I've never seen comedy outside of the tent at Bonnaroo.
Yeah.
He was on the main stage, and he was on at like 10 o'clock, and he did 2 hours, and it was just like, it just floats. So
but that's him, though. But
he's good.
No one else can do what he does. No one else can do what Seinfeld does. No one can do what Chappelle does. No one can do what Patrice O'Neill did. No one can do what Bill Burr does.
Oh, we have somebody calling us.
Oh.
We got a phone call?
Yeah. Here we go.
You say it like it doesn't happen too often.
It doesn't. Hello. Welcome to Wake Up Hollywood.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, how's it going? Who is
this? Is this what I call with dirty jokes?
What's that?
Is this what I call with dirty jokes?
Yeah, yes. What's your dirty joke?
What's your dirty joke?
I don't know. I've been trying. Is Marangio there?
Yeah.
Yeah, Marangio. Okay, so just to introduce myself, my name is Raj. I'm an Indian stand-up comic that lives in Arkansas. I met this dude out in Tulsa at a festival we played probably a month or 2 months ago.
Oh, yeah, what's up,
buddy? And, hey, I can't really hear you guys, but if you can hear me, I think it's awesome that you guys are doing this. And it's also awesome to be speaking to another Indian dude.
That's right,
over
man.
In L.A.
Indians are taking over. We love it.
We are. Bit by bit, man. I'm just telling y'all. You guys saw Aziz. He showed up as Chet, and then all of a sudden he was Tom Haverford on Parks and Rec. Like, we're coming. Every time to the industry, we're going to be seeing.
We're creeping. We're creeping in like a virus.
Well, there's 8 billion of you. I'm sure it's got to happen at some point.
And Aziz is your ambassador.
That's right. That's right. That's right. He is, slowly but surely. He's the ambassador to comedy.
Sound like the Republican candidate. He and Dev Patel. You really don't have. It's like Republican candidate. You know, you really don't have a lot.
I'm going
to
be seeing Aziz at Oddball Fest in Kansas City in like a week. And, I've been actually deliberately growing my beard out, and I bought a suit today. I'm going to walk around in Kansas City dressed like Ken just to see what ends up happening.
That's awesome. Like,
back to a dirty joke is what I actually called in with.
All right, go for it.
Is what I was going to try this. Sorry, my pizza was getting delivered. but dirty joke-wise, I just want to ask y'all whether you guys knew why there's not that many Walmarts in the Middle East.
Why is that?
Because there's a whole bunch of Targets, brother.
See, the Indian was the only one that laughed.
That wasn't even dirty. That was very homeland-ish.
At least because there's a lot of fucking Targets.
Dirty
make jokes
are for guys that get to have sex a lot. And Maranz has met me, so I'm just a dweeby-looking Indian guy, so y'all know that that's not happening by any means. I went out to this place in Tulsa with a bunch of comics called the Dilly Diner. And everybody was, it was like 10 in the morning. Everyone else had like vodka and whiskey. And Mirage goes, hey, I got a great drink for you. He orders one. And you know what shows up? It's basically a white Russian, and they called it cereal milk. It was pink. It was pink, man.
That sounds like Maranzio put something in your drink,
nope,
possibly
not at all,
a roofie.
Not at all.
Look, I don't think he would do that, but I don't happen to remember anything else that happened that whole time. So
he Bill Cosby you?
Yeah, right.
Maranzio might have Bill Cosby me. I'm just kidding. Hey, he's a great guy. Hey, thank you guys so much for your time, and have a great rest of your show.
Thanks,
I appreciate
worries.
Having being on here.
Yeah, thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening, and thanks for calling in, man. Say what's up to
hey,
all the Indians
guys.
In Arkansas.
Get some dirtier
yeah,
jokes.
Yeah. thanks a lot.
All right, man. Peace.
Like,
bye.
All right, Ronzi, let's get to some of your bits that
here's
make people
laugh.
Here's
the crazy part. Eddie's face lit up like it was Christmas just now when he saw it.
Dude, the last caller he had was like a high guy. Like he was stoned out of his mind, thought he called for the other show.
that was going on
at the same time.
But we had a caller from Costa Rica a couple weeks ago.
I don't know.
Okay, people, if you're listening,
it happens.
Can people hear me?
Yeah, people can hear
the
you.
The world can
if
hear
If you're me. Listening to this show, it helps. If you call in, just call in, just fucking call in and say, hey, how y'all doing? You guys doing a great job. We appreciate it. I tune in every week. Whenever you tune in, it helps. It's like performing at a comedy club and people laugh. It helps you.
True.
Continue to perform because you're like, okay, people are laughing. I should continue to tell more jokes.
This one's long.
It's too
long.
I'm
going to fade. I'm fading. See?
But
see?
If you do this show every week and no one calls in, you feel like you're in the middle of New Mexico in a trailer.
Oh, my God. Stop with this. I'm going to break
I'm sculpting your iPad. What he's talking about. Well, let's get to it. Like, do you have any bits of when you were opening for Daniel Tosh? Or
no.
Is there something you want to play?
No.
Eddie, you choose one of his bits.
I don't know.
Everything. Everything stinks.
I don't know what to play.
Well, choose something. This is Maranzio Vance.
I got my comedy album's online.
Where's it at?
Yeah.
Laughmatic. Laughmatic.
On YouTube?
Yes, on YouTube. Everything's on YouTube.
Laughmatic.
Everything.
Laughmatic.
Laugh Matt, yeah.
Yes, Alex, I'll take things that should have happened about 20 minutes ago for 400.
Laugh-matic.
Should I set it up? Should I set it up?
No, not yet. You guys need to keep talking while I search for
it. I was about to say.
Here's Maranzio Betts.
What the fuck is this? You got like buttons and everything? Yeah,
doesn't it look like a little arcade?
It's annoying as hell.
It makes it fun for me.
Oh, he loves this.
Oh, I do.
Listen, he's playing Twister with his fingers.
What
have you been up to?
I've been just playing music and just, you know.
Were you born here?
I was born in Canada, actually. But I've been living.
I'm going to play Mel Gibson Goes to Racist Rehab. Is that
yeah,
oh, I like that. Let's hear it.
Let's do that one.
Hold on. Do I have to listen to this shit? Can I play it?
Take your headphones off.
Here it comes.
I don't think none of y'all should listen to it.
I'm ready.
Oh, here we go. Mel Gibson Goes to Racist Rehab.
I know I say some honest, truthful, awful shit tonight, but it is what it is. I can't take it back. And I'm not racist. I don't want anybody here to think I'm racist. I'm the racist. Prime example, I'm not racist. Like, one of my favorite movies is Braveheart. I fucking love Braveheart. But I've had difficulty trying to watch it because I'm still mad at Mel Gibson. And people are like, why are you still mad at Mel Gibson? For those who don't remember Mel Gibson, we found out a couple years ago that he's a raging, racist alcoholic. And he got pulled over by the police. And he cursed the police officer out. And he blamed Jews for everything that was wrong in the world. Some of the shit he blamed Jews for, I thought black people did. But I was like... Take it away, Jews. And I went home and slept good that night because I felt like a weight had been lifted off my shoulders. Now, fast forward after he cursed the police officer out, he left his wife, he started dating this younger girl, and then we found out that another one of his attributes when he becomes drunk is he's abusive because he had knocked his girlfriend's teeth out, but she couldn't prove it. I don't know how she couldn't prove it. All she had to do was say, hey, these are my teeth. They used to be here, but he did it. But somehow she fucked up the paperwork. And the police were like, we need more, you know, more proof. And she went home and she set up a camera and recorder all around the house to catch him when he goes on his tirade again. And one particular incident got out when he's cussing her out and she let the tape leak. And on the tape, he's cursing his girlfriend out. And he says to her on the tape, get the fuck out my house. And if you get raped by a pack of niggers, that's your fault. A pack of niggers. And all my white friends were like, oh my God, Maranzio, we're so sorry. We would never ever say that in front of you. And I was like, I appreciate it, but I'm not even mad at him for saying nigger, because everybody's saying that. I'm more upset that he referred to us as a pack. Like, I've been black for 37 years. I have never been called a pack of niggas. Like, I've been a gang of niggas. I've been a crew of niggas. I've even been a bunch of niggas. But I have never been a pack of niggas. And the wolves in the forest are like, when do we start getting compared to niggas? And I'm watching CNN and MSNBC, Fox News, and see how they're going to handle this. Because I'm like, it's going to be some repercussions, some bullshit. And I was thinking to myself, they're going to suggest, like they do all celebrities, that he go to rehab. And that's exactly what they did. They're like, Mel Gibson needs rehab. And I'm at home like, yes, I could not agree more. He needs rehab. But what exactly is he going to rehab for? Because there's no rehab for racism. Like, you don't go away for 90 days and come back and they ask you, how do you feel? And you're like, oh, I feel... You know, I'm nigger free now. Like, it just don't work like that. Now, I'm watching all this happen. Nancy Grace, Glenn Beck, all these fucking, Bill O'Reilly, all these people. Nobody said this. No one pointed this out. No one pointed out the fact that Mel Gibson only became racist when he argued with another white person. Every incident where he was racist and lashed out with anger about another race was with a white person. And I've never seen it done like that before. I've never argued with another black person and brought another race into it out of anger. ever. I've never argued with one of my friends like, yo, you know you owe me $5, and if you don't pay up, I hope a flock of Asian people throw ninja stars at your fucking face. Ninja stars. When last time you heard ninja stars?
I don't know.
There you go. Take that with you. All that to say is I don't think I'm racist. I see shit and I talk about it. And anything I say tonight is Googleable. It is. If you listen to anything I say, you Google it. Something will come up about what the fuck I said.
Very nice, Maranzio.
We're back. Shit.
That was some good shit, man.
I cut that shit off. Huh?
Dude, you got that thing though, man. You are good at it. You just got to keep doing it. You know, that's it. You know what? It's like when people are good, like you doing it. And I say this to Eddie all the time. It's like it's worse when you aren't doing it and other people that are shitty are doing it.
It's like. This is what
but those shitty people are doing it, and they're getting specials.
Well, yeah. but you know what? It ain't all working.
You know what?
We just look at that and think that it's working, but it's not working.
Sitcoms stink right now.
Oh my god, I talk about this all the time with him, and I'm such a huge
name
fan.
One sitcom that you rush home for and be like, I gotta watch it.
No, it doesn't.
One exist.
And that you know what? That's my favorite kind
Seinfeld,
of one.
Seinfeld rerun.
Seinfeld reruns.
Name. One sitcom that makes you say, "Oh my god, I wish I had thought of that."
I don't even have one DVR'd to program
the DVR.
The
last sitcom that made me say, "Holy shit, this is brilliant!"
Oh, that's you know what? To be honest,
Arrested Development was
Arrested Development. Extras.
Oh, Extras! Yeah,
Extras with Ricky Gervais.
For me, I thought Louis C.K.'s first his sitcom I thought was awesome.
I'm about to get stoned by the police. Nope.
But no, it doesn't exist. I think that ended in the 2000s.
I couldn't watch it. I watched like two episodes.
But you know what? That's my favorite TV to watch. I don't know why there aren't good sitcoms.
Arrested Development is the most original sitcom that has come out.
I thought they're bringing it back.
They are. Netflix is doing another season, but the last season they did wasn't that.
It's not good on Netflix.
No.
It's not good on Netflix because you can get away with anything on Netflix, so it kind of takes away the whole
to be so creative to get around what they want to talk about.
Yes,
on Fox.
Fox prematurely canceled that show. I was on a sitcom they prematurely canceled.
Which one was that?
We did a sitcom. I was on a sitcom called Enlisted.
Who was in that?
Army
with,
show.
Jeff Stoltz.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Jeff Stoltz and
I think I saw you on the Fox lot.
Yeah.
When you were filming.
Yes.
That's right.
Yeah.
You were wearing like a lobster bib or something.
I had a lobster bib. We had shot. It was crazy, dude. But it was a fun show. It was smart. I'm amazed. And here's the hypocrisy of the entertainment world and in America. We've been at war with countries since like 2001.
Right.
We finally come out with a sitcom about the Army, and nobody fucking wants to watch it. We did an Army sitcom. Nobody wants to watch it. But we would jump up and
when
down
they put you
and
on.
Get patriotic. Oh, Fox fucked us because they put us on a Friday at 9:30.
Yeah. Oh, that's death nail.
That's yeah.
Like people sit at home and say, wait, can't wait to get home Friday night. We all go sit in front of the TV like a family. First of all, there's no families anymore. So you're not talking to that audience.
Right.
Two, no one's like rushing home.
You got to be on like a Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday.
Well, I thought Thursday night's like the prime. Isn't that prime
not
time?
Anymore.
Not anymore.
Really?
Because Thursday's like we're getting ready for the weekend.
Right.
They don't have a...
So Wednesday is the big night.
Yeah. NBC used to... Thursday used to be the big night.
There's not one good...
Now, let me ask you this.
You can't count CBS.
No. None of those networks are putting out good stuff. So let me ask you, as comedians, what is that... That would be like, you know, me listening... I mean, and it kind of happens with pop music, too, where I don't get inspired by new pop music. Like, I'm just not inspired
music
by a lot
stinks
of it.
Right now.
Yeah, music's pretty bad, too.
Art I think in general stinks.
Art
well,
stinks.
No.
What?
Banksy. Banksy. I am more entertained by a Banksy exhibit
Absolutely. And
a Banksy special than anything I've seen a network or a label
because
put out.
I don't think he does it. He doesn't. I think he doesn't do it for money.
That's what makes it even more holy
but
shit
music,
exciting.
Music, comedy, entertainment in general is so preoccupied with branding.
Yep.
Right.
That it's ruined art.
Well, you know what the other thing is, too? I think about this a lot.
Entertainment,
I think entertainment in general is so driven by marketing.
Well, that's that branding. People, they're so worried.
People just don't know that good art. They don't know good art from bad art because they hear this is good, so they accept that this is good.
Maranzi and I were having this conversation where he came in before the show started. They're so busy chasing demographics and certain things and creating a brand. Like, hey, check out our brand. We relate to you.
Right.
Instead of actually just creating a product that is good and attracting an audience to it.
They don't want to do that work.
The word I hate.
But the artists do want to do that.
Yeah.
I hate millennials.
I think our studio audience agrees with you.
I hate the word millennial.
Why is that? Why is that?
Because that's who the industry is trying to prepare for.
Right.
But you're trying to prepare for a generation of people who don't have any empathy. They don't have...
Well, not across the board. I mean, there are exceptions.
Okay, this is a millennial. Millennial are people that... These are kids that do the memes.
Right.
They're the ones that... will holler racist. Like, he was the one... millennials are the ones that Seinfeld was talking about when he did the article about how he doesn't perform at colleges anymore. Because everybody's politically correct. Half the people that scream political correctness don't even know the functionality of the word that they're accusing people of doing.
Right.
So that's a problem I have. You have a problem where you're trying to gather an audience of people who don't have any money because the millennials are children. For the most part, or young people who don't really have to work for anything. This generation doesn't have to work for anything.
Not like,
and if they did go to college, they're broke because they're in debt.
Yeah.
So they don't have any money to spend anyway.
Right.
Millennials don't care about nothing. Nothing. We live in a generation now where mothers and fathers are trying to be as popular as their children are on social media.
Yeah, that's so true. And I got to give a shout out to my parents who are not on any social media, and I love that. Because
give a shout out to my mom that I blocked on Facebook because she tried to critique my post. Stay in your place, woman. this is what makes the Christmas money when I buy Christmas gifts. So, no, that's what it is, though. We live in that generation where millennials, nothing, the attention span is smaller, shorter. No one's really invested in anything.
I'm sorry, I wasn't paying attention. What were we saying?
Exactly. That's where we live in. And it's hard to compete. It's hard to compete when no one's paying attention. It's hard to...
You two should write a sitcom. Get it together.
Yeah, we'll have Banksy direct it.
Well, here's the other thing, though, too. See, a lot of comedians, they don't always work together. I noticed that, too.
Certain
Whereas before, I think it was
well, you
more...
have a certain group of people like Judd Apatow has this camp of people.
Right.
And they do their little pyramid scheme movie making stuff.
But the funny thing is I don't think Judd Apatow's movies are that great.
They make 2.5 hour comedies.
Yes.
What are you doing?
2.5 hour comedies.
I'm like,
it's like a Laugh-a-Palooza.
Right.
Like, hour and 30 is we're good. John Hughes had the formula.
90 minutes.
Well, let me ask you this. Have you ever seen Judd Apatow do stand-up? Because I know he's doing stand-up now.
Yes.
So when you see a director that has all that power and you watch him do stand-up.
He started as a stand-up.
He started as a
stand-up. Yeah, but he took like 15, 20 years off.
Yeah.
He had other stuff going on.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but I'm saying, but you know, it's like gigging for me. Like I'll always gig just to make sure the muscles of gigging are, you know, strong.
Yeah, but if you're directing a film, you don't really have time to like think of a new joke and go try it out at the club. It's
but
kinda...
that's why he's doing it because I think he really wants to.
No,
he exercises.
No,
we'll talk to me. Let's hear it.
I think it's more of a I want to complain with a punchline. Hmm. That's pretty much what it is. Because he did Fallon.
Yeah, he did Fallon recently.
Unnecessarily.
Why? That doesn't make sense.
Because he just wanted to go. He basically at the end of the day. You can say what you want to say. He can say what he wants to say. He basically put together a 4.5 minute set just so he could shit on Bill Cosby. That was the whole purpose of his set. So he did his first 3 minutes was about his wife and I'm living with some girls in my house and I'm the guy and I'm ugly. My wife's attractive. I don't know how it happened. You got money and you make movies. So don't act like, how did I get this fine wife?
I put my wife in the movies.
Put my wife in the movies, and I made money. So don't act like you're shocked.
It took a spot away from a legitimate comic actress? Who's still trying to come up and get a TV spot.
So there's a comic out there that could have performed the night that Judd Apatow performed.
That would have meant the world to that comic.
Right.
Changed his life.
Judd Apatow was like, let me go get this $1,600 to perform, which I don't need.
Right.
Because I have a movie coming out.
I have a movie coming out. Let me take a slot from an up-and-coming comedy that really could use the exposure.
Right.
So I can get on my political platform and shit on Bill Cosby. Because if you go follow Judd Apatow, 90% of his tweets about how much Bill Cosby should be dead.
Well, I think a lot of it is, you know, the generation of people that are successful right now, they're killing a lot of the industry. Like, I think rock and roll is dead.
I think it's funny that Amy Schumer is like the voice of gun control. It's the funniest thing in the world.
I just had to do that.
It's the funniest. You know something else she did that was just funny? I don't know if you saw this, but she came out, she did a speech where she was like, I have difficulty getting dick.
Yeah.
No, you're not. You're a 160-pound fat white woman. You're not having trouble getting dick. You're having trouble getting the dick that you would like to get. But just dick in general?
Awkward.
It's not hard to get a dick.
It's not hard to get dick if you're a woman. No woman like, I can't get this pussy away. It's not hard.
Right.
And
right.
If you're a successful woman, get out of here. What, Jude Law won't have sex with you? All right, I get it. That's your complaint? I get it. But just a regular comic hanging out at the bar, like, I ain't got nothing to do tonight because my career stinks. You telling me you can't take this guy home? Get out of here. Stop it. Stop trying to make your little molehill into a mountain.
Well, let's play another clip. What do we have?
Of what?
We got more
my
of your
career?
Stuff. Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
Come on. We got to share.
This is what we do?
We got to, you know what?
Bring me on the air to make me feel bad about my career?
No. I enjoyed the conversation.
Well, I like both. We're going to do both. I like a little clip. It's amazing how many comedians are so shy about their comedy.
Because we hate it.
I know, but why? It's
because
like, what do you do?
Once it's done and recorded, we can't go back and fix it.
That's true. Yeah, I understand that.
I don't watch myself on TV. I do my Comedy Central special. I shot it. It aired in like June. I didn't watch it till like January next year because I was like, why? To beat myself up? To be angry? I can't fix it.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
Well, what are we playing, Eddie?
Maranzio and the Talk.
Oh, God. I'm from the South, born and raised in Charlotte, North Carolina. I go home, take my daughter shopping. And it's Christmas time, we're in the food court area ordering food, and the monitors have CNN playing, and Obama's giving a speech. These two white guys, I guess, they don't see us standing close to them. It was in front of us. And one white guy says to the other white guy, that nigga ain't my president. And my daughter heard him, and the guys walked off, and she waited till they walked away, and she turned to me, and she was like, Daddy, why do white people hate black people so much? And it caught me off guard because I wasn't ready for that. Like, I had a sex answer ready. I had a sex answer. If you ask me about sex, I know what to say. But I don't know how to explain racism. Like, there's no way to explain racism because you really don't understand where, you know, it originates from. It's just, I didn't know what to say to her. Like, do I tell her the truth and say, hey, sweetheart, we was in Africa one day playing volleyball, and a boat pulled up and was like, hey, what are y'all doing? And we was like, nothing. Why? They was like, y'all want to go on a trip? And we was like, how much is it? And they were like, free. We were like, all right, fuck it. We ain't got to work tomorrow. And then we got on the boat, and they brought us to America, and they were like, get off, build us a country. We were like, whoa, it wasn't nothing in the pamphlet about building a country. And then they hit us with a whip, and we was like, all right, this one time, we'll build y'all a country. And then 400 years later, they were like, all right, y'all get the fuck out of here. We were like, whoa, where we gonna go? We've been working for free for 400 years. We ain't really have no money saved up. Like, let us put some applications in somewhere and stack our chips, and then we can go back. And we've been here ever since. That's a lot to explain to a child. But as a parent, if your child asks you something, even if you don't know the answer, you better say something. And it has to be the right answer, because if you don't say the right thing, they'll go Google it and come back and be like, you're a fucking liar. I'm like, look, you didn't know either, so shut the fuck up. Like, so when my daughter asked me, why do white people hate black people so much, I said the first thing that came to my head. And I was like, baby, white people hate black people so much because white is harder to keep clean.
Oh,
She was like your sneakers? I was like, yes, like my sneakers. Let's go get some ice cream. See how everybody got uncomfortable with the race? Like, y'all ain't shit, man. Y'all pick and choose your battle.
Very nice.
So real quick, you went on the road with Daniel Tosh for how long?
Off and on. It's not often. It's not a consistent thing.
So like a couple weeks here and there?
We do it like once a month out of a year.
You doing colleges or theaters? Or what's he? What does he do?
Tosh does whatever the fuck he wants.
It's Tosh's world we're living in.
Tosh's world we're living in. I go down to the tapings of his show, you know what I'm saying, to hang out. I mean, he's a good friend.
Right.
I just work with him because it takes the pressure off of me. One, he pays better than the clubs pay me.
Right.
And then it frees me up to do other stuff. Like, I do photography now. So I do a lot of photography. I shoot a lot. And I'm learning my camera so I can direct one day.
That's awesome.
I stay busy. Like, look, everybody, here's the difference. I hate fake positivity.
Right.
I hate when people are like, you just got to keep going inside you're dying. But someone told you, just be positive and good things will happen. That's fucking horseshit.
Yeah, but you know what? It's like this, too. It's like, why make it worse for yourself?
You know what? But you need to vent. As human.
Oh, you got to embrace it sometimes.
Of course.
Yeah, you got to let it
bottle up.
Yeah.
You should. I'm not saying bottle it up.
You know how many people walk around emotionally constipated?
Oh, yeah.
Dude. You know how many people just snap one day?
We live in the city of emotional constipation.
When I watch on the news someone snap, that was a guy that was holding it in.
Right.
I see a woman that snap, someone holding it in.
Right.
It was someone that was like, if I just...
That's true.
Positive.
Yeah.
Something good will happen. And then while you're saying this, you're walking home from work saying, let me just be positive. You get hit by a car, bird shits on your fucking head, a rat bites your leg,
right.
Someone robs you, you get raped, and you're like, I just stay positive. You're destroyed. And then you get home and someone ate your Hot Pocket, and that's what sets you off.
And then you murder them.
Like, you murder everybody else because all I wanted was my Hot Pocket.
And then they blame mental illness. I'm like, no, if you just would have said fuck every once in a while.
Yeah.
I agree. But I'm not saying not to say that. I mean, vent all you want because that's what makes...
You have to. If you don't, you're not human.
And you know what? I think for musicians, like, we vent through our instruments. Like, honestly, if I don't play guitar for like 4 or 5 days, mm-hmm. I literally go crazy in my mind. Like, I have to play.
I'm like that
to get
a little bit
out of me,
with
you know?
Comedy. I have to get on stage just to
get out of your head.
Yeah, just out of my head. Yeah. I just talk it out. You know what I mean? I'm on a crusade right now. I came up with a word called dignity. Dignity.
I heard you the first time.
No, because some people like dignity. I had to say
dick. No,
dignity.
I heard it.
And it's basically, I'm on a crusade to get men to get back to the point where we value ourselves.
Right.
Because it's turned into a feminist society. Men are being bitched down. We can't complain. We can't be grotesque. We can't be barbaric anymore. We can't be men. Because women are like, we don't like that. You need to talk to us a certain way. And then there's a little batch of bitch men that are like, yeah, treat the ladies with respect. Be right by the ladies. And that's because they like, well, we be nice to ladies. We'll get more pussy. No, you dick. You're not. Stop it. Be a man. Pull up your pants. Okay? Stop trying to wear khaki shorts. Okay? Stop wearing flip-flops with the toes out. Put some sneakers on, some jeans, t-shirt that says, I don't take your shit. And be men again. It's dignity. It's a double standard. There's not one time in a woman's life where she is not undateable. The woman is always dateable. It's never a time when a woman could be walking out of a clinic and a guy will be like, what you get tested for? Oh, well then hit me up in 5 days and we can see what can happen. There's never a time where a woman's not undateable. A woman can move home. He can't move home. If he moves home with his parents, he's a failure.
Right.
But if a woman moves home, she's getting a fresh start. She's getting a life together. She's regrouping. She's assessing.
Right, right.
No man can move home. No man. A woman would rather you be homeless than move back home. I'm not imagine. It's a double standard.
Well,
a man has to have money to go out on a date. There's no, a woman can go anywhere. And I don't think that's fair. I think I really try to implement the Dutch date policy. I think the first date with any man and woman should be Dutch. If you like me, I like you. Let's just go.
Split this meal.
Let's split the meal and see how we like each other.
I agree.
And if we work out, next meal is on me.
Right.
But I'm not about to pay for the first meal. That's like paying an interview for a job.
Which I'm sure that'll be in the next generation 5 years.
But that's what it is, though. If I pay for a date,
right,
I'm paying for you to interview me. I'm paying you to let you interview me for a job.
Right.
That you may not hire me for.
You know what I love about having you on the show?
What?
It's like you're always perpetually angry. Like it's just, and I feel you because literally you're like a minister and I'm like in the congregation like waving my hands up.
I don't send around the collection plate.
No, I got you. Where are you going to be? Where are you touring? Tell us all your Twitter handles and all that stuff.
Right now, it was this Tuesday night. I'm headed to the Laugh Factory. I'll be there at 10 o'clock. I'll be Wednesday night, I'll be at Inside Jokes, which is a Chinese man theater. They have a comedy club in there. Thursday night, I'll be at Flappers at 7:30, and then I'll be in Santa Monica at Westside Comedy Theater at 9 o'clock. And then Friday and Saturday, I will be at the Mirage Casino Vegas with Tosh, and then
that's amazing.
Sunday I'll be at the Long Beach Laugh Factory, and then I'm doing a sports talk radio for Fox Sunday from 4 to 7 with Mike Hill, who used to be on ESPN.
You got nothing to be angry about, man.
I'm not. You know what it is? People get mad at me for being angry, but I do it for the person who can't speak up.
Right.
For
themselves. No, I like that. That's what I respect about you.
I'm not complaining because I got a PlayStation 4. Life is good.
That's good. All right. So what's your website and what's your Twitter handle?
Maronzio Vance, Maron Zio Vance.
Well, thank you for coming back, man. Yeah. As always, you're an awesome guest, and we wish you
the
best.
Did we get anything accomplished?
No, but I feel better.
I feel better, too.
I bet for Eddie. Eddie's like, fucking say this shit.
Preach it. Say it. Preach on it.
Maronzio Vance, everybody, thank you so much for listening. On behalf of Eddie Pence and myself, Nikki Carulla, we'll see you next week.